Say hello to the most ghetto podcast in America, the Rapids Thugcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of the Rapids Thugcast, the dirtiest podcast in football, according to FC Dallas fans and quite possibly New York Red Bulls fans. They haven't gotten back to me on that. And I don't know anything about Toronto fans. And the official podcast of BurgundyWave.com, SB Nation's home for the Colorado Rapids. I'm here with the usual crew, Bulldog Ben and Jed Bertram. Ben, how are you?
I've been at war with my cat for the last two nights, Chris.
Is that some sort of masturbation joke?
Nope. I've literally been at war with my cat for the past two nights.
All right, just making sure. And Jed, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, a little bit pent up, but that's all. With rage.
I'm not rage. Okay.
Rage.
I'm glad we...
With
okay.
Rage.
With rage. Well, I think we know why you're raging. We're going to start with that game against Toronto last Sunday. Yeah, 0-0 tie at home against one of the worst teams in the league, offensively and defensively, who were on short rest. It wasn't a pretty sight.
No. I'm going to say that a 0-0 draw is quite possibly my least favorite result in all of sports. So, I enjoyed it.
I don't mind a 0-0 draw if it's a fun-to-watch 0-0 draw, but that was just pathetic.
That's true.
That was just pathetic.
Yeah, just to give you guys a little, brief statistical analysis about why this game was so bad, even though, watching the game... Just to go by the numbers, overall, now this is overall, there were 13 attempts on goal. That's overall, both teams put together, 13 attempts on goal. And only 5 shots were on target that night. Only 5 shots were on target.
I thought the number would be lower after watching the game.
Total, 5 shots on target. That was just. Like, when your keeper gets called man of the match, it was not a good match for you. Like, I don't remember who, maybe it was Pickens who actually said that. It was like, you know what, I don't want to be man of the match. if I'm man of the match, that's not a good thing.
Well, the only thing that there was to talk about after that game, because no one remembers anything else from that game, is Amari Klaw getting tripped in the box for that clear penalty that didn't get called, but that was one of the least obtrusive refs I've ever seen in an MLS game.
He kind of let that game go for a bit. I mean, there were fouls. I mean, definitely. Colorado outfouled yet again. 23 fouls overall on the night.
Ooh.
So, obtrusive. I mean, he didn't deal out a lot of yellows. He wasn't too hard. He wasn't too harsh about the fouls, but he called a lot. It was 23. That is... that's actually about average for an MLS ref, I'd say.
Yeah, it was more the fouls he was calling were inconsistent on occasion.
Hold on, let me just get this right. Are you suggesting that MLS refs are inconsistent?
Oh, I know. This is a bombshell. I hope Don Garber doesn't listen to this, because his mind will be blown.
I just threw up.
I just pooped my pants.
I just threw up a little bit.
Like, both ends.
In your mouth? On your cat?
No, on the floor.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, honestly, there's not much to talk about from this stupid Toronto match. Although I believe I won the absolutely nothing prize from that one.
Yes.
With my 2-0 prediction, which was still unfortunately way off, but you both predicted Toronto would score, so
that is true.
Yep.
That's right. The Rapids Thugcast, once again sponsored by absolutely nothing, now in light form.
I just want to say, most of these games I can't watch because they're on altitude and nobody has a illegitimate stream of altitude.
You know what? You are missing a damn. You know,
yeah, but I was gonna say altitude. usually I'll just go on and watch the highlights afterwards and like a few times. And my push notifications on my iPhone were so boring for this game that I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
I didn't even.
You know, that's something I wanted to say for a while. Thanks for reminding me. Altitude, your soccer coverage is embarrassing.
Thank you.
At best, it is embarrassing.
Like, the only one who actually knows what he's talking about is Marcelo Balboa. He's the only he's a bright spot on the broadcast, and that's not saying a lot.
That's not even the worst part of it. Yesterday, the Rapids had already released their lineup. I have to remind the people at home we record these on Thursdays, so yesterday was the Red Bulls game. I don't know why I have to remind them that, but it's in the contract that I made up right now on the spot. And they released the Rapids had already released the lineup, so we all know it, that they were running the 4-1-4-1 formation with all the people in the Altitude comes in with the lineup card, and they post the lineup. They have Akpan in the midfield. On their on the lineup they've got on the screen, and they have Amariqua up top. Well, Amariqua is actually on the bench.
He's the top of the bench.
He's the sure. That's what happened. And then at halftime, they decided to show the standings for MLS, and they showed the standings from 2 weeks ago.
Wow, that's horrible.
And Mike Haynes is doing the commentary, and every single game I've ever heard him do, every single soccer game, has sounded like the first soccer game he's ever watched in his life. He's an alright hockey guy. He knows his stuff when he's talking about hockey with Peter McNabb, but no. Keep him away from the soccer pitch.
Yeah. Just put Cello on there. And
you know, just Marcelo Balboa, just solo commentary.
Yeah, just solo commentary.
Could it really be worse?
No.
Actually, you know what? Me and Ben, we're for hire.
Yeah.
Just put us there. I at the very least will not say "and sent away" twice in one sentence.
True.
Which you somehow managed to do in the Chicago game. That's all I remember about the Chicago.
Pointing out something here, there was actually for the Rapids, one of the stats that I thought was really, I don't know if it's fun to look at, but do you know how many passes the Rapids completed that night, Toronto?
How many?
531.
What?
It's a huge amount that's a huge amount of passing, just dunk to dunk to dunk to dunk to dunk.
Well, you know how the passing went. It was midfield, 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 Amariqua turnover.
Midfield, defense, 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 defense. Yeah, I mean, that was more than, there's more passes than I've seen, I think, all week. 531 total passes. That's a huge amount.
Yeah.
And they also had a huge amount of possession, 63.8% to 36.2% Toronto. So, I mean, the Rapids were dominating the game in terms of possession and passing. But oddly enough,
Amariqua would have none of that.
Yeah, not for offense, though. Their offense, not so good, which, you know, prompted an article from you that came out.
I've broken 1,000 words twice in my blogging career. That was the second one.
Yeah, if anyone out there, you know, actually reads Burgundy Wave and doesn't just read the podcast, you should actually read. But make sure to read Chris's article on Amariqua. Because I think it also stems out from some of the things that Nick Thomas has been writing about the Rapids offense, which has been, by the numbers, abysmal. This season, except for the efficiency one, which is, you know, most of our chances turn into goals, which is good, but we just haven't taken that many chances. But that all changed in New York, didn't it?
Yes, that moving on to the New York Red Bulls game, that was probably the best offensive performance they've had all year.
Yes.
And that includes the DC game, that includes the Portland game.
Yes, I would agree.
I could agree with
not,
that, yeah.
Not only, well, in D.C., they won the game 4-1, but that was a flattering scoreline because they really were only offensively dominant for 20 minutes of that match.
Yeah.
The last 20 minutes of that match.
Right.
Because it was 1-1 up into the 70th minute.
And it was more a D.C. collapse than a Rapids
and
dominance.
Portland had Portland had the potential to have that, but after scoring three in the first half, they just kind of started turtling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they probably could have had the most dominant offensive performance in Rapids history had they felt like it.
Yeah.
But they chose instead to say, okay, we got our three goals. The crowd's happy. They're mm-hmm. waving their flags. Sit back. Smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
But against New York, really only 10 minutes of the match were not good in terms of offense. And that was the first 10 minutes where the Rapids were trying to settle into the new formation.
Yeah, I mean, for both teams, I mean, yeah, that was those first 10 minutes were really nervy.
I just love all the chances taken. I mean, I've mentioned that before in the podcast and just talking with you, Chris, and Ben, that I feel that the Rapids don't take enough, like, wild, I mean, I wouldn't say wild shots, I guess, but, you know, like, shots from a distance, or instead of, like, just firing, they'll try to get something going, which usually never works out, like, they'll try to pass it to someone.
I call that a Mariqua syndrome.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed that. I thought that was awesome. That's something that I don't think that you see too much from the Rapids, so I was pleased with that.
Chris, I actually pulled up the stats for the Portland game just to compare and contrast the two offensive performances, and you're right, the Rapids did much better. Just to give you guys an update on that. So, Rapids attempts on goal in New York, this is away from home, 16. That's, you know, wild shots, shots on target, shots off target, all, you know, all that stuff. So, all their attempts, 16. The Portland game, 12. 12 attempts on goal. We dominated that game, 3-1.
Thoroughly.
The difference, I think, that it comes down to why we scored so much in that one was probably passing accuracy and possession. Passing accuracy was just about the same from both those games, 79% to 75%. And possession was the big one. It was 54% at Portland and only 37.5% at New York. So we just didn't have the ball as much, I don't think. But when we did, at 16 attempts on goal, that's even more than New York, actually. We outshot them.
Oh, yeah, we most certainly outshot
them. We outshot them, and we underfouled them. Another important stat.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing I noticed about that game. Everyone, especially, of all people, Ross LeBeau, was drawing tough fouls all over the pitch, giving them plenty of set-piece opportunities, which is good. Because the Rapids suddenly know how to score on a set piece again.
Yeah, that's another point I wanted to make. Awesome.
But that's.
I'm not gonna get into that PK because that was probably the most bullshit call that's ever gone for the Rapids.
Yeah, that was. I mean, the ref just, like, I don't know what happened, but it looked like he couldn't. Like, maybe he just couldn't see from his vantage point where the contact happened. He just saw, like, Akpan went down in the box, and he's like, all right, there it is.
Oh, he must have been in the box.
I don't think Akpan was even really looking for contact. It's pretty clear he had no idea the other guy just came up behind him and gave him a shove.
No, it was at the very least a clear foul. It wasn't in the box.
Yeah. And when Akpan got up, he didn't do any pleading or anything. He just, like, looked like, oh, that's a penalty? Oh, I guess.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And then Jeff Lorenowitz came up and decided to
humiliate the guy.
Turn the goalie into one of those little net things that Clint Dempsey's always advertising. It's like rebounded off his head right back into the net.
Yep.
I enjoyed watching the Red Bull Arena crowd's reaction to that.
Oh, that was classic. It's like
everyone
on
their feet for a split second, then hands up in the air, and then the hands go all on the face.
And then quite soon after that, Red Bulls come right back into it. Probably the most
2 minutes.
Probably the most exciting 5 minutes total. Oh, exciting maybe 10 minutes?
7 minutes.
7 minutes?
7 minutes.
Probably the most exciting
4 goals
in
7 minutes
in MLS. I've seen.
That was fantastic.
That I've seen thus far. I mean, that was total back and forth. You know, offense against offense, just going all out, and then both teams are finally like, hey, we should settle in and play some defense.
Yeah. Then Matt Pickens realized, oh, I should be protecting this net.
He got froze on that Thierry Henry shot.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he just stood there. There was two goals, though, in this game where the keeper just stood there and watched it go past.
Well, I think the first one, he just got froze. Like, I don't know I don't know if Wallace was shielding Henry. Pickens just couldn't see where it was going.
If he was screened, it was marginally.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Like, everyone saw the back pass going toward Henri there.
It just froze him.
Even before the back pass came to Henri, everyone was like, oh, Henri's open.
It was strange, I don't know. I feel like Pickens does that a lot.
But then the second one, I think he came out to collect the ball when he should have actually stayed on his line.
Oh, yeah.
So no, that was...
And that's what I was saying that he does a lot. He comes off his line a lot.
Yeah, he came off his line to get...
Gives me a heart attack. Yeah.
You know, on the Luke Rogers goal, it was the same thing. He just came off the line too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had he come off the line a little earlier than that, he would have caught up with Luke Rogers, been able to at least touch the ball and...
tap it away from him.
Luke wouldn't have had the easiest header of his life there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the game,
he made some fantastic saves.
But a few of those saves would not have had to be fantastic had he not made another stupid move.
That's true.
Like late in the game against Luke Rogers, he had that really nice fingertip save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another Luke Rogers header, but the reason he had to make the fingertip save is because he was 3 inches away from Luke Rogers at the time.
Yeah, he got a little too close.
Had he been on his line, it would have just, like, popped it right to him. Most likely, I don't know.
That's true.
Well, I mean, again, he's had some pretty good saves, but all in all, I don't think he had a good night.
Nope.
No. Oh, he was my goat of the match. Poor Matty Pickens.
He even beat out Quincy Ameriquois.
That's only because Ameriqua had, like, what, 15 minutes of play?
Yeah.
If you want to call it play.
Ameriqua is just, I don't know.
That last second chance. Why?
You know what it is? He's just got to simplify his game. Like, he's trying so hard to do these really highlight reel sort of stuff. And it's like, we don't need highlight reel stuff, dude. We just need a goal. For more on that, please read Chris's article on BurgundyWave.com.
He wishes we were a creative attacking football team.
And for more on creativity, please read my article on BurgundyWave.com.
Yeah, please read Ben's article on creativity. Posted, when this is released, it would have been posted yesterday, but yay!
Hey.
Let's whore our own website on our website.
Probably.
In a podcast based on our website.
Right.
Do we appear desperate?
At all.
Because if so, we're doing it right.
Yeah, just getting back to the fouls, the Red Bulls actually almost outfouled us 2-1, 17-9, almost 2-1. That is an interesting stat given, you know, when we look at the beginning of the season and we see, like, the Rapids were outfouling people 2-1. I don't know, that's interesting to me. So it looks like we've toned down our play maybe a little bit. Like the fouling's gone down significantly, that possibly because the guy who had the highest foul count on our team is now suspended, or as Gary Smith put it, incarcerated.
and Connor Casey missed a bunch of times.
And Connor Casey, but you know, Connor Casey was actually drawing fouls as well. Of all people, he was drawing fouls. He drew.
Craig told me on Twitter after the game, he was like, you know, if Connor Casey had dove when Tim Ream grabbed the back of his jersey, we would have had another PK there.
Yeah, probably. If Connor and Casey that, dove.
That's the pro. We're not FC Dallas, right. Unfortunately. Yeah. Maybe we can draw our way to a finals appearance. I don't know.
Maybe.
We're getting plenty of the damn draws. We're
getting plenty of draws. That's true.
You know, people keep talking about New York as a far superior side to us, but they have the same record with one game in hand, so minus one loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The point count is the exact same, 17. Mm-hmm. They're only near the top of the table because they're in the East.
Interestingly enough, if you look at salaries, I don't know, I wish I had the source on this, but they did a sort of a salary ranking, like who gets paid the most, who gets paid the least. Colorado is actually
second from New York.
Colorado is second from bottom in terms of salary.
Yeah,
and
that sounds about right.
Yeah, we're second from bottom in terms of how much we spend on player salary. Yet we are the current reigning champions, and we're able to draw New York in a really entertaining match.
You know, I think the second highest paid guy on our squad is actually Caleb Folon. So that should tell you.
Yeah. Number one.
He's
number
making
one, I think
what?
Is,
two, he's making what? Like 200,000?
Well, that would actually probably make him third, because I think Pablo pulls down at least a quarter mil, maybe more.
Okay.
Connor pulls down.
I know Connor's the highest.
Yeah, Connor pulls down like 300,000.
350 maybe?
350 maybe.
He's the highest. He's just under being a DP, really.
Yeah.
Oh, we should bump him up like that extra $50 just so we can say we have a DP.
Because we need
How you get creativity.
How are we
going to
get those creative
spot.
Attacking midfielders, though, that we so desperately need?
Connor Casey will be our creative attacking midfielder. Well, look at him. He's fast, isn't he?
Yeah. Speaking of, just to bring up some of the fan mail that we got, we call it fan mail. Uh-huh.
Fan mail. Talking Yay. About we have a fan. Yep. One fan.
Paul Merritt Yay. Again sent in a.
And it's Paul Merritt. It's Paul Merritt again.
Yeah, Paul Merritt again sent in an email about.
Hi Paul.
He sent an email again, just speaking of Luke Rogers and Caleb Folan, talking about. I'll just read it out to you guys. How many Luke Rogers clones are there out there in the lower leagues? How do we get our hands on them? With Stan Kroenke taking the controlling stock in Arsenal and, of course, assuming that he remembers he owns an MLS club, we can tap into some of the scouting over on that side of the pond and look at signing some folks that might not necessarily impact the EPL or the championship division, but can work over here. Need to add some depth in the back, some creativity in the center mid position, if we are ever going to do anything. What is this creativity? Nonsense. Sorry, Paul. In my opinion, even a fully healthy Pablo isn't the answer in the middle right now, and he certainly won't be. He certainly won't be when the inevitable Omar Cummings sale occurs, and we have to rely a little more on shape and creativity up front. Maybe a little shopping in the cellar of English soccer is the answer. My answer to that email is: well, we already did some shopping in the lower leagues, and we got Caleb Folan out of it, and he's a fairly creative forward, good with his feet. I mean, I thought he was a good purchase.
A little bit slow.
Bit slow, but I think overall, I don't think his thing is speed. I think it's, just being powerful. I guess he's just a powerful forward, a power forward of some sort. So,
and, you know, I'll say this the nicest way that I can, and I've said it before. An Omar Cummings sale is not going to break this team. I think that Omar Cummings, while he is a fantastic player, gets overhyped. Just because he won the Golden Boot for the team last year, and he was in the MVP discussion last year.
Yeah, he was in our discussion for the MVP. He was not in the MLS discussion for MVP.
You know, I knew a couple of guys from other fans of other MLS teams who were considering Omar Cummings as one of the top five MVP candidates.
What I mean is, of course, we bloggers and other people from other teams are thinking it, but the MLS brass, when they brought up their nominees, Omar Cummings was not one of them.
Well, yeah, screw the MLS brass.
Yeah. So
we don't like them.
I'd like to see Omar getting some MVP recognition at some point when he comes into form.
But he's not in form.
He's also injured at the moment. So,
well, yeah, that helps.
Yeah, helps keep you out of form.
You can't be in form very well if you're injured.
I think you're right, Uz. I don't think the team would actually be broken by Omar Cummings' departure. I think that's part of a narrative that is made up by MLS in a way. It was supported by MLS in a way because people like to believe, because people, I think I mentioned this in the creativity article, is that people, instead of focusing on whole teams, tend to focus on one or two players on a team. That's just how we're conditioned as, you know, American sports watchers. We're, yeah. You know, you look at the quarterback, you look at the wide receiver, you look at the, you know, second baseman, you know, that sort of thing.
By the way, when you said that, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure, after watching the Rockies since 1993, I'm pretty sure Denverites have no idea what a second baseman is. or what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. I'm just thinking.
Rockies jokes right up
of
in
those,
here. Yeah.
Because of that sort of conditioning, we don't tend to look at whole teams as a source of like the movement of the team as itself a source of creativity. So when people say, like, oh, well, if you lose Omar Cummings, you lose your creative aspect up front. And it's like, no, Omar's part of a system that creates chances, and we're very good at it. So,
and it's not just that, but We have another Omar Cummings type player in Andre Akpan anyway.
Yeah.
He's a fast guy, he's got good feet, and he's not terrible at finishing.
No, I mean, he takes his chances.
That's Omar Cummings. That's right there. That's Omar Cummings.
That is
Except Akpan actually takes more chances than Cummings. Cummings, to me, the biggest problem with Cummings to me has always been that he always seems to look for the pass over the shot.
He's looking for a nice, he's looking for a square pass across the goal.
If I'm going to make another joke about a local sports team, if anyone remembers Wojtek Wolski with the Avalanche, it's pretty much the same thing. He would skate into the zone with the puck, go right toward the goalkeeper, say, "Eh, screw it, circle around and look for a pass."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Omar Cummings does more often than he should, probably, considering he has the potential for more goals, like the one he scored against the Red Bulls last year. Mm-hmm. The really long one that just rattled the very top of the crossbar and went in. That was goal of the year. That had goal of the year contention.
That was fantastic. I mean, he just is like, what? And what? Puts it right in.
What's that?
And Niasse almost pulled a similar thing earlier.
That was a great shot that caught everyone off guard.
When he comes into form, I'm going to be very happy because... right now, I think the New York game's a good example of stuff that he can do well. He goes forward well. He takes shots. He's a risk taker. So
I think it helped. I think it helped having a defensive midfielder dropped back behind him.
Yeah,
because as just a winger in a straight 4-4-2, he's forced to defend a little more than he'd like to.
Yeah.
And he's not a great defender. He's not a Wells Thompson type.
Right. He rarely wins a ball in the air because he's a bit short, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a short little guy. Yeah. But
he doesn't win a ball in the air, and he's kind of coming into it, getting it, sweeping it away from someone's feet, but he's not. No, he's not a.
He's also figuring out his footwork as well, because we've seen glimpses of his footwork. And he can make some great moves around guys and get over toward the box.
Yeah.
And his service still could use a little bit of work, but if he can improve those two things, then he can probably be the everyday starter.
Yeah. And Jamie Smith can get in on the other side.
And be our creative attacking midfielder. I think Jamie Smith.
That's what I think.
All right, Ben has a fun little article that he's been raging about.
Yeah, I have a fun little news item for everybody out there.
I will post the link in the post for this.
Great. Yeah, I actually got this from Drew.
Let him know.
I actually got this from Drew at, WVH?
I think you mean Drew from Big D Soccer.
Big D Soccer?
SB Nation's home for FC Dallas.
Oh, was it him?
Yeah, he goes from there. He works there, too.
Oh, okay. So, Drew.
Aha!
There you go. Shout out to you.
I'm sorry. I'm a whore. We all know that.
That's cool. So, basically, Drew posted up this thing that, and I got a link to basically Sports Business, interview with Don Garber. The first question that kind of made me scratch my head a little bit was about expansion, which I'm sure everyone's interested in. Next year MLS will welcome a team in Montreal, makes the league's 19th club. Good news. You've publicly said you support growth. What markets appear best for growth? Garber's answer's a bit interesting here, a bit puzzling. We're focused on New York. It's a big market. The Cosmos have a great legacy, and they have a great soccer history that so far the Red Bulls have not been able to tap into. For the most part, the Red Bulls fans come from New Jersey. The challenge for the Cosmos is to build a stadium, and as we all know, New York City is not the easiest place to build. We've put a high price on the 20th team. In 2007, we were asking for $7 million, and the last year, teams sold for $40 million. So this could be in the $75 to $100 million range. It's interesting how he really wants the Cosmos. It seems like he's really into the Cosmos, but then like sets up everything in their way to be like, this is why they're not going to happen. Like not only won't they build a stadium, but they're also going to have to pay the highest franchise fee that we've ever charged in MLS history.
Well, you know, if the Cosmos did appear, they would have billions and billions of stars.
Oh yeah, that means be a bench full of
stars. Yeah, Carl Sagan joke up in this bitch. Shut up.
Bench full of stars, really. It also seems exclusionary to me, because if you want to grow the sport, it seems to me that you either open it up and have people sort of maybe even have a promotion relegation thing where you can actually have two leagues where people can just buy in, as opposed to what we do have currently as some kind of promotion relegation where it's based on like how much you're willing to pay to get into the big league.
Really just a big slap in the face of Minnesota.
It's a slap in the face of Minnesota, Las Vegas, North Carolina. I mean,
the 16 people in Miami who like soccer.
16 people in Miami, Tampa Bay. I mean,
San Antonio.
All these teams that, you know, they want to play. They want to someday play top league soccer. And there's two ways to go about this. And I'm slowly starting to, and you're going to hate me for this, but I'm slowly starting to listen from Ted from Soccer Reform, where he's like, and I'm like, well, there's two ways you can go about it. You can either go and say, well, it's pay to play. You pay us to get into the big leagues, or you have a minor league where you can play up into the big league. It seems more fair to me to have a minor league where you can play up. But of course, that brings in its own problems, which is, you know, how do you get the capital for that? How do you keep the fan base there?
And Ted Westervelt's a moron.
Well, you got to think to yourself, just like, is what we're doing right now currently is that really going? Because neither model to me seems to be fully capable. Like,
MLS can sustain what they're currently doing.
No,
but to say something like, we need to have promotion relegation within the next 5 years, that, to me, is really just wishing the death of MLS.
If you try and start an
MLS 2 league, and you try and fully fund an MLS 2 league with, like, 10 teams, there are not 10 markets that can give you profit right now.
Or 10 markets that can buy in, or, like, would it be another franchise? Would it be, like, another franchise where the franchise fee is lower?
A team like Portland got relegated, that would completely screw the pooch as well.
You think you think the Portland fans wouldn't? It would screw the pooch because the Portland money wouldn't be going to MLS anymore.
Exactly,
be going to the next league. Well,
okay, that was a weird tangent. Sporting Kansas City is the next game on the on the heels of their never-ending road trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Live Strong Park in Kansas City is almost being built, or is almost done being built. So they'll have a home game anytime now, not now.
I'm actually looking forward to going to that stadium at some point.
Oh, it's going to be
a great stadium.
It looks like it's going to be a great stadium.
Yep.
I can't wait to go to the new Houston one that looks like a Chipotle burrito.
Yeah, that one's hilarious.
Can't wait to go.
But anyway, Sporting KC, they're tired, they're frustrated. They have no wins except for the first week. They're getting days every week where they have to fly back to KC, then fly out to the next place, then fly back, then fly out to the next place. Uh-huh. It's tiring them. They're fairly weak all over the pitch. They got a few injuries. Really, the only player that's been consistent for them all season is Jimmy Nielsen, their goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's made some pretty darn good saves throughout the season. But they have a very good forward crew. Deeper than the Rapids, even.
They had an incredibly productive forward crew last year as well.
And they still do this year. They got, what, Omar Bravo, Kai Kamara, Teal Bunbury. I like the Bunbury. CJ Sapong, rookie out of James Madison, who has been very surprisingly effective.
Mm-hmm.
For a rookie who was picked maybe 14th, or it wasn't 14th overall, but it was mm-hmm. after the top five, so it wasn't, they weren't picking him expecting him to be the next really Omar Cummings, I guess, even though Omar was drafted in the third round. So the draft system's stupid.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. If we stay with the same franchise system that we have, where everyone buys into it, Don Garber has given no indication that we're ever going to give up the draft. Woo! As long as we have an NFL guy in charge of soccer in the United States, in charge of our top flight soccer institution, we're never going to give up the draft.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's all about the Sporting KC. Another game, like the Toronto game, that the Rapids should win at home.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And this, we're getting to the point where we have to start winning these games at home.
Oh, yeah. We have to start getting some wins. We can't. These draws are pissing me off.
Yeah, what are we, Dallas?
Yeah, the West Conference, the Western Conference is now, it's heating up for
it's
real.
It's stacked now.
It's stacked now. I mean,
Portland's winning now.
Yep, Timbers are winning. Sounders are winning. Dallas is winning. And those are three teams that weren't doing so well at the beginning. And now they're really heating up, which is interesting.
Currently, the it's a logjam. The top team is L.A. with, I think, 23 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then FC Dallas with 21, which is surprising considering they've lost David Ferreira.
Yeah.
And they've still been able to... Breck Shea, our boy Breck Shea, has looked...
God love
looked
him.
Awesome. We're the only two people left in America who love Breck Shea, Ben.
And I told you, man. I told you he'd be good.
That unicorn. It's the unicorn. He will live forever, Breck Shea.
He will.
He will live forever. And he will laugh upon the graves of those who spited him. Whatever. FC Dallas is second. And then there's a four-way tie for third place with 17 points. The Rapids are part of that. It's Portland, Salt Lake, Seattle, and Colorado, I think.
Yeah.
Damn.
All of them have 17 points, although Salt Lake still, because of MLS being all about their CCL run, they still have a bunch of games in hand. So
yeah.
Not too many anymore. They've actually been playing now. I'll enjoy when like September rolls around and they got 12 games.
Yeah,
they've got to play all those 12. So they'll be exhausted rolling dead. Into the playoffs if they make it.
Yeah, so they're dead going into the playoffs, and Dallas will upset them again. I'd laugh.
I'd laugh as well.
So predictions for the Sporting KC game. Go for it, Ben.
My prediction is I think the Rapids are going to be confident. I think they're going to be a little bit miffed they didn't get the win in New York. I'm predicting that they're going to come out fighting, so I'm thinking 2-0.
2-0?
2-0.
2-0.
All right. Jed?
I'm gonna go with a 3-1 victory on this one.
And you were all lambasting me for predicting the same thing every week.
I said 3-1.
That's what you said last week, too.
I didn't say 2-1 last week.
No, you said...
Yeah, we both
we
all
you
said
both
3-1,
predicted
didn't we?
3-1.
Oh, you predicted.
I predicted,
oh,
okay. I predicted 2-0 because I'm smart.
Oh, I like to change things up.
And then we didn't do predictions for the Red Bulls game because I forgot it existed because I'm an idiot.
Mine's 3-1.
3-1?
I
think that they're going to keep the same formation they kept against New York, the 4-1-4-1, because they didn't lose any players to injury out of that, thank goodness. And Jamie Smith is probably still going to be nursing that hammy. So, you know, I think that the offense will fire just as well as they did against New York, if not better. Because New York has a bit better of a defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think Connor Casey will start up top as well instead of Andre Akpan.
Yes, I was going to say that.
So that'll boost it up a bit. I'll say 3-0.
I just don't trust Pickens for a shutout.
So. You know what, He only has a really crap game like once every three games. Like he was due this one after the Seattle goal he allowed. He was due a couple. So now he's going to be really good again for a couple weeks.
Very true.
I'll take that.
I hope so anyway. Yeah, 3-0. I will win the absolutely nothing this week.
Okay.
It's mine. I could just take like my cabinet full of absolutely nothing and just shave off a piece and give it to myself.
Trophy case.
Yeah, I got a trophy case. That's the only thing in it.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. All right, I think we've covered more than we probably need to.
Yep.
Plus, we're probably going to hit the 40-minute mark again, and I'm sure nobody wants that.
Okay. Yep.
So, final thoughts. Anyone?
Nope.
Go Rapids.
Nope. Go Rapids.
Go Rapids. Go Rapids.
Go Rapids.
That sounds good to me.